So, as we said, stop loss is the focus of a new movie out today called Just That, Stop Loss. And we heard an explanation of the real-life implications of this policy on U.S. troops. But all of that aside, is this something we want to go spend our 11 bucks on this weekend? Here to help answer that question and talk through all the other movie gems out the next couple of days is the friend of the BPP and Metro film critic Daniel Holloway in studio.
Good morning,
Hi, Daniel.
Dan. Morning, people.
Thanks for being here. So, we just heard the real-life explanation of stop loss itself from Washington Post reporter Ann Scott Tyson. You heard that, Daniel, that interview. Does that jibe with how the film characterizes the policy?
For the most part, yeah. The film basically revolves around Ryan. I can never get his
Felipe.
name right. Felipe.
Felipe.
Yeah.
Philippi?
Philippi,
I think. Philippi.
Ryan.
Ryan.
Ryan plays Sergeant King, and he gets stop lost, but the rest of his unit is going back, except for another friend of his who's another sergeant, I won't give anything away. But basically, it's not his entire unit that's getting sent back. It's him himself.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the reasoning is that he's trained and served with these guys, and they need him to be an effective leader. This is compounded by the fact that he got some people killed and doesn't really think he's an effective leader right now. So
I think we've got a little bit from this scene. Here is a scene with Ryan Philippi where he's just learned he's been called back into the military.
They stop lost you. How can they do this?
They're doing whatever they want to do. With a shortage of guys and no draft, they're shipping back soldiers who's supposed to be getting out. It's a backdoor draft is what it is.
What about Steve?
Mitch, I don't know. Some of us are getting it, some ain't.
This cannot be happening. No, you almost died over there. What do you want to do? You want me to take you to Mexico till this blows over?
No. Out of the question, Mom. I ain't dragging my tail across to Mexico.
I'll take you.
So, is this an anti-war film? I mean, we've seen a few of these come and go over the past year. Some have not been so successful. Was that your takeaway from this? And if so, is it successful?
It's definitely an anti-war film in the sense that it doesn't really address the issue of whether or not we should be in Iraq at all. It's addressing the issue of how the war is being prosecuted. Whether or not it's doing that effectively, I think, is up for debate because the film, as you said earlier, is highly stylized. It's an MTV movie, which I know you shouldn't read too much into what production house is making a film, but it's hard not to make that connection when the welcome home party that these guys get near the film's beginning basically involves – I live in New York. There's more beautiful women here than there are just about any place else in the country. But, I mean, these guys are surrounded by what looks like backup dancers in short shorts and low-cut tops and little pink cowboy hats. And I've never been to Texas, so I can't really say. But it doesn't seem like a realistic representation of any place in America.
And the movie posters, it does look kind of MTV teen video kind. You know, they're slung on the car front.
But it is directed by the woman who directed Boys Don't Cry,
yeah,
right? I mean, she's
Kimberly Pierce. Yeah. I had high hopes for this film, as a matter of fact, for that reason. This is her first movie in 10 years. And
her brother's in Iraq or something?
I think it's her younger half-brother is serving.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that.
So you think she does a good job? I mean, you had high hopes?
I had high hopes, and I think the movie is look, I think more people will see it than saw In the Valley of Ella. Mm-hmm. I think the reason for that is that this film is so stylized, that the actors are so good-looking.
Mm-hmm.
Philippi and Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum is just like, he looks like a professional wrestler
ripped.
In this film,
yeah.
You know? You know, everybody's very good looking. Everybody is like hip and young. And
so that takes away from the realism of it.
It takes away
bit.
From the realism, but it might get butts in the seat. So you're a little torn over that. It's watchable. It's a decent film. It's not as good as In the Valley of Ella was, but probably more people will see it.
Okay, we're going to switch gears. Dramatically, run, fat boy, run.
Comically.
Before we get to your review, your take on this, we're going to play a one-line review from our own Auxiliary Holloway. Here's what your wife, Daniel Holloway's wife, Heidi, had to say about this film.
It seems like a movie that David Schwimmer directed because he did.
We love that so much. Please expound. What does Heidi mean here?
I just summed it up better than I ever could. David Schwimmer directed Run, Fat Boy, Run from a script written by Michael Ian Black and then I believe rewritten over that by Simon Pegg. it's a very middle-of-the-road comedy, unfortunately. If you're a Simon Pegg fan, you're used to films like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, these, you know, really some of the best comedies to come out in the last few years. This is a much more mainstream affair. It's a romantic comedy, and with all the vanilla that is implied by that.
Is Simon the fat boy who is running?
Yes, he
is.
Why
is he running?
He's running because he's in love with Thandi Newton. But he left her at the altar years ago while she was pregnant.
Dumb man. That yes, lady is yes. good looking. To prove Heidi's point, we've chosen the David Schwimmerist clip we could find from this.
Libby, I never actually thanked you.
For what?
Well, for just sort of letting me back into your life.
Jake's life.
I wouldn't have been surprised if you just cut me off completely, you know.
Oh, now you tell me.
Well, no, I mean...
Now he needs his dad.
Yeah. You were right, you know, about me entering the marathon. It was because I was sort of trying to win you back kind of thing. And I'd always kind of hoped that maybe we'd, you know, get back together and that. But, you know, when I saw you with Wit...
Dennis.
And I know it's the height of hypocrisy. And I know doing this isn't going to change anything or make anything better, but I settle for your respect.
Oh man, that is like a minute too much.
Yeah,
here's the thing, that wasn't even a minute, according to my
that felt like 45 minutes.
Shouldn't there have been a joke in there, you know? Shouldn't there have been a fart noise or something? It's kind of, and you don't ever believe that Thandi Newton would be with this guy. He's such a schlub.
Okay, we do have to ask before moving on, how many of your reviews are actually your wife's reviews?
All of them.
All of them.
She writes them for me and then tells me what to say before I come here.
Awesome.
So she's saying, if you like David Schwimmer, it's a film for you.
That's what you can do this weekend. Okay, moving on. Priceless. It's in French, but do we have some of the English language trailer?
On the luxurious French Riviera.
Pardon, excusez-moi, pardon.
Jean was just a lowly hotel worker. And Irene was working the highlight. When a case of mistaken identity. A little deception. And a couple of cocktails turned their lives upside down.
Jean?
Okay, that's the idea. What do you think? What's your takeaway from this one?
Yeah, it's funny. I saw that trailer the other day. I don't see many trailers. It doesn't do the film justice at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this and it's my two favorite movies so far since the new year are both screwball romantic comedies. This and Miss Pettigrew Lives for the Day. I love it. It's great. Audrey Tautou from Amelie in A Very Long Engagement.
Love her.
And a fella named Gad Elmaleh, who's a Moroccan-born French comic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays a gold digger who, through a series of misunderstandings, ends up having a brief affair with him. He's actually a hotel barman, but she thinks he's a millionaire. She gets caught. She's about to marry the rich guy she's been working on for 2 years, and he kicks her out. And so then they start spending time together, and she starts teaching him how to be a gold digger. He, like, lands a, you know, 50-year-old cougar, and then, you know, they fall in love, and there's all kinds of hijinks. But it's really good.
It's worth it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're not going to hear a clip from this because we've run out of time. Too bad. But what do you think about the new one with Michael Caine and Demi Moore?
It'd be good if there wasn't for that whole Demi Moore part.
Yeah, Flawless, this is called, I believe, heist film?
Yeah, it's a heist film. She plays the first female executive at a British diamond company that is basically a stand-in for De Beers, and they're gonna steal some diamonds. And yeah, it's actually like a really nicely made film, but the Demi Moore performance is really extraordinarily problematic.
Really?
Yeah, she was walking around and with her face frozen and her power pumps on and her very tight, you know, 60s suit dresses, and it just doesn't, like, just sucks all the energy out of the room.
She was never as good as G.I. Jane. It was all downhill.
I know. It's been a steep slope since she shaved her head for G.I. Jane.
Daniel Holloway, thanks. Can we bring your wife in next time, too?
Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
We liked her. Okay.
Siskel and Ebert.
We're going to go to the movies this weekend. You've convinced me there's at least something out there, I think, for everyone. Daniel Holloway, film critic for Metro Papers. Thanks, as always, Daniel.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up on the show, a conversation with the head of Rutgers women's basketball team. Vivian Stringer has a new book detailing her rise to head coach and the trials and tribulations once she got there. She'll speak with us next. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.